Good day, dear listener, and welcome to another episode of The Vagabond Dilemma, starring my gracious co-host Rudy and, well, me, Henry. On today's episode, Rudy takes us into the Ural Mountains to discover the secrets of the origins of vodka, while Henry theorizes about a deer trying to fit into society. Without further ado, please enjoy.
Circus, Afro Circus, pocket up circus.
All right. Not what I thought what you meant when you said you were going to say hi, but here we are.
Oh, so when you say the welcome to the Thunder Zone, then I have to match the energy, but you're just not gonna now?
All right. Okay. Do it again.
Okay. Afro circus, pocket up circus.
Let's fucking go! Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma.
Jesus Christ, that almost killed my ears.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. Maybe you want to turn down the file for that, because I saw that absolutely peaking. So I'm sorry to anybody that had to listen to that.
Welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma, where we talk about the missing explorers, yeah, and then we talk about the resolutions, and we find where they went.
Oh, I love this way of talking.
Yeah. Do we have any news? The news.
Any news? Well, I have to announce I'm still sick from last week, so, you know, I'm sorry. It's going to be another episode of sickness.
Ah, you make us sick.
I do. I really do, and yet I cannot help it.
What a sicko! Oh.
Oh?
Staying alive. I was gonna say something, but I honestly forgot.
This is such a worthless intro so far, you know?
No, it's beautiful. Talk about something I'm going to remember. Talk.
I don't have that much. Well, I guess something that's going on right now is today, as we speak, the World Cup Finals will be played. I know Rudy deeply doesn't care about this, but, you know.
Well, I mean, you were right. France got to the final. You were right from that branch.
Yeah, it was. But I really wanted the US to win it all. Unfortunately, it's not meant to be.
It's kind of a pretty... How would I even try this? It's a magnificent story of Henry's prediction skills. It's like kind of 50-50. It either goes wrong real hard or it actually comes true. Because what happened is, a while ago, when the Cubs just started, Henry showed me this... What was it called? It's not a graph, is it?
It's a bracket.
Right, okay, yeah, that. And he showed me the predictions of what he thought is gonna, you know, how the World Cup would play out. And the end, it was USA against French. And it was like a day after that, or the same day, me that, USA go out of the cup. And I was like, well, that went downhill real quick, but then there you go, the other branch, France, had we predicted correctly.
There you go. Well, I will say that even though you're trying to talk me up kind of here, I think from the 50-50 predictions, I got like 75% of them wrong, so... I'm not that good at predicting, unfortunately.
No. When you go betting, ring Henry up, guaranteed win.
I don't know if I've told this story on here before, but when I turned 18, I wanted to bet. I put like $20 on the account. I lost it all instantly, and that was the last time I did like actual like gambling through official means.
The only gambling I did was for my alcohol consumption.
Hey yo!
I turned 18 too. I put in one of those slot machines, right? Because one of my friends went to a bar.
Right.
To a sports bar, basically, or something.
Right.
And I put in, what was it, like, €2 or something? Like a coin. It was one coin. But I pulled out €20, and I was like, I'm not going to, because usually what they give you those €20 to basically, like, you know, keep playing, and then you end up losing more. Because you keep, you know, you lose those 20, then you put more, because you won 20 at some point, so it's easy. Yeah. You know, that kind of shtick. But I just took the €20 and was like, hey, let's go buy drinks.
Yeah, you're a sensible gambler is what you're saying.
That was the only gambling I ever did.
Have you ever played poker?
Yeah, and I told this story, I think, on the podcast where my cousin absolutely shat on me.
Okay, I don't remember this. But anyway, maybe we should play poker sometime. It's kind of funny, right? Or blackjack or something like that.
Blackjack.
I don't know. I like minor gambling where you just play with friends for like a blackjack euro, let's say, per round. What?
Blackjack just sounds like such a pirate game, like yarr, blackjack.
Yarr. I guess. But I'm done with official gambling. It's not worth it. It's a scam anyway.
Career just never started, but you're done with it.
I mean, it's not really gambling. Is not really a career, so.
Well, I mean, I am not very fond of gambling, not supportive. But I mean, aren't there people who base their whole income on gambling because they're pretty good at it?
Yeah, but you have to realize that when you say this, there's like so many more people who have tried and miserably failed. So,
well, like that, yes. But it doesn't change the fact that it can be.
Rudy, I find you strangely encouraging of a very dangerous lifestyle right now.
No,
so.
You're now like my mother, right? You gotta...
I am?
You have to speak the facts. Gambling can be a terrible addiction that ruins families and lives and whatnot. But it also can be a source of income. I'm just stating the facts.
Rudy,
there are professional poker players and whatnot. Rudy, it's what you do with the facts is your own choice, but those are the facts.
Rudy, go to your room. Okay?
Nope.
I've had
nope.
enough of this.
Nope.
I am your mother,
just
and I will. You will
facts,
do what I say.
Just because I'm stating facts doesn't mean I support anything.
Rudy, I think you're too far on your poker. I think it's time to...
Usually my mom and me, when it comes to politics, we argue about this. Because I'm just stating some facts that are true or not true. And then she's like, oh, so you're supporting China? And I'm like, bruh.
Rudy, I can't believe you're supporting China.
Didn't somebody want to go to the, what was it, South China?
Me?
North China?
Oh yeah, I'd love to go to Guangdong. Please invite me, China.
Suck up.
Well, what? A vacation's different from being a gambler, Rudy. You're gambling. I think you're...
That's not why you're... I'm not... you know what? You sometimes really tick me off in these very cold winter months, by the way. Why is it cold in the Netherlands? Huh?
I don't know.
I thought it was supposed to be... Like, last 3 years I've been here, minus is like twice per whole year, right? Now we're in December.
Yeah.
What is it now? 18th of December when we're recording this? It's been... Below zero most of the month.
Honestly, I think I'm gonna perish before winter ends because I cannot handle this at all. By the way, sorry if that was I was turning on my heater because you reminded me.
I'm gonna leave that in the episode so people know that you're officially turning on your heater because we have to know that you're okay. Because by the way, people of this podcast, listeners, this guy is living on allegedly saving up on heating, right? Living in 11 degrees Celsius in his room.
Yes.
That
well,
is foul. That
it's
is
voluntary,
foul.
Rudy. We have to save up on heating.
11 degrees. He's an Eskimo.
Well, when I wake up, it's 8, but... Today it was even 7,
you know,
so
we
I was kind of surprised.
Send you some blankets.
Please do. If anybody wants to send me blankets, here's my address.
No! Then followed by a long beep. Well, anyways, cold winter months, Henry. We have to. It's actually wait. By the time this episode comes out, we're gonna be somewhat in the middle of winter, right?
Well, yeah. Winter hasn't officially started yet on our end, so we'll be at like the
mid-January. It's close to mid-January. We'll be.
We'll be like 1/3 into winter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There you go.
So actually, I have made a special episode.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, and I know I usually like to preface with stuff, but this is a very, again, famous thing that happened. So I'm just gonna go out and say today we'll be talking about the Diatlo Pass incident. Have you heard
Diatlo
about
Pass? What was it?
Diatlo Pass incident. You never heard of this?
Diatlo? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's a Russian word, Diatlo.
Oh, Diatlo. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna finish that.
But wait, no. You have actually never heard of this.
No, I haven't.
This is the guy I do podcasts with people.
Okay, if the majority of this podcast, anybody who cares enough, if you have heard of this, email me in and I will apologize on the next recording, okay? Well, okay, this will be kind of spaced out because we bank these episodes, so you'll probably only... So you'll hear this mid-January, we are mid-December. So I will be apologizing like near mid-February at that point, but anyway, send me in and I will apologize and say something great about you if you have heard of this. I feel like I'm being shamed for no reason.
Honestly,
and actually,
though,
you know what? If we have nothing, Rudy, you will apologize.
No. But
yes.
Maybe you have heard of the thing, then not the name, because I don't believe that you have not heard of this incident. Like, in any shape or form. Like, it's almost unreal in this day and age.
Well, feel free to describe it, and I guess we'll find out along the way.
Alright, so Dyatlov Pass, geographically, is a place in the Ural Mountains.
Ural.
Yes. And we're going to talk about the USSR time period in Russia.
Russia.
Right, and I know this is, well, okay, so for Henry to have this preface, otherwise I would have just gone into the episode. So, this incident has been talked about a lot when it comes to urban legends.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like, we talked about the Bennington Triangle, right?
This
is the same level as the Bermuda Triangle, of how much talked about it has been.
It really? Because I've literally never heard this.
Yes, it's just the Bermuda Triangle has more on it. But the Dyatlov Pass incident is basically a thing that I personally think was over-exaggerated. Because, as you will find out, there were some very weird circumstances of something that happened. And then later on, for whatever reason, USSR hid the actual information of what happened. And that led to a lot of speculations and, you know, this becoming a legend.
Right. Okay.
But okay, let's get into it, because this is also a potential for some good bits, I feel like.
Okay.
But anyway, so the pre-knowledge of the expedition we're going to be talking about. By the way, we're talking about students of our age, basically.
Ooh.
It will be a group of students of our age. It's going to be 9 students of the Ural Polytechnical Institute.
Okay.
And we're just gonna jump right into it. So the idea is that there are students who love hiking and trekking and that kind of stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And mostly they, because of the area, that kind of translates into traversing wintry kind of environmental slopes, mostly skiing, but like, you know, not like leisure skiing, but trekking, basically.
Right.
And this specific journey is that I believe at the time, I won't quote it word per word, but there's a work some kind of titles you could earn, basically like certificates of how good of a trekker you are.
Mm-hmm.
And these all, like, if not all, some of these people before they went on this expedition were on their second certificate, but the best one you could go is the third one. So this expedition basically was, because there are, you know, specifics that you have to fulfill. One of them being that you have to trek across, what was it, 2,000 kilometers or something like that?
Jesus.
No, or something, like, that was a distance, right? And you basically, to earn this Category 3, you have to make that route.
Okay.
So this trek is basically made as a volunteer thing to get the third category.
Right.
The certificate. So 9 students, as I said. And they want to basically traverse to the Dyatlov Pass, which is kind of I'll try to describe this the best I can, but Dyatlov Pass is kind of the western side of Russia, right? As I said, in the Ural Mountains.
Right.
And how do I even? Because Russia is so big, and I don't know much about it. It's kind of like. Fuck! Henry, help me.
Where the Ural Mountains are?
Yeah, it's kind of like in the middle of the Ural
okay.
Mountains. Like,
so
if there's a stretch of Ural Mountains, right, that long stretch, it's kind of like midpoint somewhere there.
Right. So, for those wondering, the Ural Mountains are... Okay, so you know that Russia is often seen as European and also, like, Asia at the same time because of, like, their length. So, the Ural Mountains are often used as, like, the cutting point where Europe and Asia is, like, that's basically... where the geographical difference is
yeah.
Theorized
like
to be.
In the middle of that somewhere there is the Jatlo Pass.
Yeah, it's a massive mountain range from north to south. So just think like middle of Russia, basically.
Yeah.
Like north-south wise.
Yeah, and Jatlo Pass actually gets its name from a guy named Igor Alexeyevich Dyatlo, who is the leader of this expedition and who is the, well, he's one of the people who died in this incident. So the pass gets its name from this incident.
Like, did it not have a name before?
It wasn't named Dyatlo Pass.
Okay.
It was named, I think, I don't remember, but it was something else. Okay. Well, anyways, so the group arrives by train to Ivdel, a town at the center of the northern province of Sverdlovsk Oblast, in the early morning hours of January 25th, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take a truck to Vizhai, which is a lorry village that is the last inhabited settlement to the north in that area.
Okay.
And while spending the night in Vizhai, the skiers purchased and ate loaves of bread to keep their energy levels up. I don't know why so many sources quoted this as a thing, but I just wrote it down because it seemed funny that, like, I read all these sources about their trek and how they prepared, and then all of them are like, in this place they bought loaves of bread and ate it. Like, well, good for them, I guess.
Good for them, yeah. Bread is fucking great, so I think good shout bread out is. Bread. This, but, you know what?
I'm gonna go on record saying, you Dutch people, you don't know what good bread is.
Well, I don't take credit for Dutch bread because this shit is garbage, okay?
You know the good stuff.
The reason I always stock up on bread when I'm in Germany is because they actually know how to bake there. And here it's just paper.
Honestly, I don't know, like, it's like they actually made it out of water, with just water.
It's just water and paper mixed together, stuck in an oven.
Right, where was I? All right. On January 27th, they start the hike. On January 28th, one of them turns back because of several health ailments, the ailments are something that, like, why would you even go on a trip? It was rheumatism and a congenital heart defect. It's like, why would you even start the trip if you know you have this?
That sounds like poor planning, poor foresight.
Yeah, so of course the dude turns back and, well, lo and behold, he was the only one who lived to 75 later on.
Ayo.
And on 31st of January, the group arrived at the edge of highland area and began to prepare for climbing in a wooded valley.
Ayo.
In a wooded valley, where they cached surplus food and equipment, which would ideally be found and used on their way back. So, makes sense. Honestly, that's kind of like, I never knew that, like, it makes sense that they do this. But I never thought of it that you go with surplus food, but then you leave it if you know that you're going to take the same path back.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because you don't have to carry, you know, like, to the finishing bag. I know it makes sense, but I was reading that and I was like, aha, smart.
Yeah, it's just like small details like that that you don't realize when you think about it. But then when you know, it's like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what being an expert is, right, Rudy?
Yeah, well... Expert. Well, you're gonna find out what happened.
They all fell.
Well, anyways, on February 1st, they started to move through the pass. And it seems that they originally planned to get over the pass and make camp for the next night on the opposite slope of the mountain, rather than move 5.1 kilometers downhill to a forested area. And this is 5.1 kilometers downhill to a forested area because they went the wrong way, basically. They I guess it was windy and, like, there was a lot of hard, like, there wasn't, you know, a path that you can take, so you have to improvise because of the wind and low visibility. Basically, they didn't stick to the original plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, once they found out that they are now in the wrong side of the mountain, but in the wrong area of the mountain from the original track, rather than going back to the forest 5 kilometers down, I guess the Jatlo didn't want to lose the altitude they made. They decided to camp night there.
Okay.
I can later show you a picture. It's basically, it's an empty, somewhat field with a forest nearby where they made camp. It's a big tent for 9 people.
I mean, okay, that kind of makes sense, though, right?
Right, makes sense. And this, by the way, all is from found later on diaries and journals, right? So this is pretty known that this was the plan.
Okay.
And this is where it kicks off. This is the snapping point. The next 2-3 weeks, where the world went crazy about it, and you know, people who believe that they can find Bigfoot in any forest started looking at this like the Holy Grail.
Okay.
So then they're not heard again from. It was talked. That Dyatlov promised that he was gonna call when he came back from the expedition on a specific date. He did mention that it might be like 1 or 2 days plus minus, rather than probably plus. But after 1 week of no calls from the set date, parents issue a search party for them, right?
Right.
Search parties first from the Institute volunteers, then with the police, then with the actual military. And later on, they find quite a jarring, very mysterious, let's say, how would I even call this, graveyard.
Okay.
Okay, so listen, I'm just going to name facts of what they found, and I'm going to leave it for there now, and then this is where we do the bits, right?
Okay.
So what was found was, search party found the tent, that was, after examination, told to be cut open from within. So they didn't take the normal exit of the tent, they cut it out, right? From the
right.
Within. All 8 hikers had fled their tent in the middle of a minus 20 to minus 30 Celsius cold night, with little to no clothing on any of them. Barefoot, barely socks on, in their underwear. Like, they're not found, by the way, all together. They're found, like, some of them were together, some were not, spread out. Like, a half a kilometer radius from the tent. After investigation, it was deemed that 6 died of hypothermia, whilst other 3 had been killed by physical trauma. One victim had a major skull damage, 2 had severe chest trauma, and another had a small crack in the skull. 4 of the bodies were found lying in running water in a creek. 3 of them had very disturbing injuries. For example, 2 bodies were missing their eyes, 1 missing their tongue, and another had missing eyebrows.
Jesus Christ.
And this is these are the most known facts about it. There's a lot of jarring, like, weird things that they found later on but those are like nuances, you know. For example, I know one was that they found this, so basically they followed the path because I guess there wasn't big snow after this happened, so they found exactly where these guys went because their pattern, like the footsteps, were still in the snow, right? What's it called? Fucking.
Yeah, tracks. Well, the tracks.
And the tracks after examination, like, they were not like running in panic or anything. They walked as in, like, it was estimated that they normally walk to the forest.
Okay.
Which is weird because they, you know, it's minus 30. They're little to no clothing and whatnot.
This is hard. This is a lot harder than the Bennington Triangle to think something up for.
Yes, this is where I'm going to leave it at now. And just also, funnily enough, I think whatever we come up with, whatever stupid bit we do for this now, it's not going to be weirder than what's already heard about this.
Okay, I will say stealing someone's eyebrows is kind of weird if you're like a serial killer. Like, huh? Surely you have your own eyebrows, right?
Okay, one thing I'm going to not allow on this podcast, it has been ruled out this was not a murder. This was not a murdering scene.
Bruh.
Because I don't want murders on this. This is not a murder podcast.
I quit. What do you mean this is not a murder podcast?
This was part of resolutions, but the modern resolutions is that they ruled out any possibility of this being that's like, you know, people killed them.
Well, maybe an animal was like, I want to look a little bit more human on this blessed day.
Jesus.
And what do they need for that, Rudy? You guessed it. Eyebrows. That's already a good start.
And a tongue?
Yeah, well,
to lick the eyebrows.
A tongue and a set of eyeballs, you know? It's just, okay, it's not that they needed a tongue, it's that they needed a new tongue, right? So it's like a human tongue. Hmm?
That's disgusting.
And then before you know it, next day, you're walking through the woods and you have a reindeer come up to you. Hello there, good sir. How's it going, you fellow human?
Oh my God.
And you're looking at the reindeer like, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. I mean, he has eyebrows, a set of eyes, and a cheeky human tongue, so he can't be... He must be human. But I can't place my finger on what's wrong.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer looking different.
It's like Little Red Riding Hood, right? Grandma, your eyes look so big.
Oh my god, yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, the others, they all walk to the woods, you said, right?
Yeah.
What if they accidentally left their clothes outside of the tent, right? And then they were in the tent, and then it snowed, so they were stuck, and it was like, well, shit, no, we can't get out through the regular entrance. We gotta get our clothes, you know? So they cut open the tent, and then they couldn't find their clothes either, because it had snowed intensely, right? So it was like, let's go back to our emergency rations. So they of course,
they
not in a rush.
They were like, fuck, we forget. Okay, let's split up. Whoever finds it first, call three times like an owl and one time like a wolf.
Exactly. And because they were like hardened Russians, it was like minus 20, that's baby shit. So they just...
Oh, yeah, right.
They just...
They're like, Mother Russia. This is just like I remember in my childhood.
Yeah, they just casually strolled. And then, what was it, three of them, or a couple of them were like, oh, I need a drink. So they went to the creek, and unfortunately they passed out there. But...
Because it was just all rivers and creeks out in the wild. You forget this in Russia, but it's all just pure vodka.
They got drunk. They got drunk and passed out.
That's how they get the vodka. You think something as pure in alcohol as vodka is distilled? No, no, no. It only can come from the mountains. It's like the Russia gives it to you.
Right. The Ural Mountains are the finest vodka producing mountains in the world. The crystal clear quality of that vodka. Mwah.
Wow, you take one sip and you lose your tongue for it.
Oh, God.
Pure alcohol burns down. And then, like one of them, like, tried to, like, you know, like, take a sip, lost his tongue, died immediately, face planted in the fucking thing. The other one's like, oh, whoa, this one fell, he goes to the dude, slips, falls over his face, loses his eyebrows. The other guy's like, what happened? Oh, my God. They trip over the second dude, and they both fall and lose their eyes.
It's like a Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Well, Henry.
Well, Rudy, you have an idea?
There's only one thing that could happen in the Ural Mountains in Russia.
Yeah.
Well, we all love a bit of solitude, right?
Right.
Sometimes. I, for example, am an extrovert, but I go on my walks alone, right? Because I, you know, it's time to think. But there are some creatures in the world who always live in solitude, who have stories about them. For example, some of them also, throughout the years, become somewhat weird. For example, Henry, would you live in a forest alone, right?
Probably not, no.
Would you live like that? Probably not, no, right? But let's take it a notch further. Would you live in a house that's on a chicken leg?
On a chicken leg?
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Imagine a small village hut, but it's on a chicken leg, like a big chicken leg. One chicken leg.
A massive one?
Yes.
I probably wouldn't know.
Yeah, why?
Unless that does sound like a tasty dinner.
Yeah, talking about dinner, I guess if you don't get enough mushrooms or anything else from the forest, would you eat children?
Hell yeah, brother. I already do.
Well, anyways, what I was trying to get here at is, have you heard of Baba Yaga?
Only by name.
So Baba Yaga is this lady in Russian folklore, or Slavic folklore, that lives in the wood. It's a witch, basically, right? She lives in the wood. She lives in a hut that's on a chicken leg, and she steals and eats children. There are depictions that she doesn't fly like a normal witch on a broom. No. She flies in a pot, and she oars with the broom.
Ah, okay.
It's a very clear picture of how Russia is different, you know? Well, anyways, I think what happened is, imagine you know, These we're talking about students. And imagine if you're a witch, and only you're like 300 years old. The term child becomes kind of flexible. And if anyone below 50 is a child for you. Okay. We're talking, like, honestly, the normal facts, the students that went on this trip is, like, from 20 to 24. This is the age range. Right?
Right.
And then imagine you're just making your, I don't know, you drink your vodka, your soup dinner in a tent with your friends. You're like, Jatlo Pass, we're having a blast. Woohoo! And then you hear somewhere out the tent, like, and then just, not like, you know, two steps, but just like one, like a jumping thing that comes like closer and closer and closer. What the fuck is that?
Right.
And you're like, holy shit, I really want to see. Let's cut out the tent and see. Cuts out the tent, and what do you see? A chicken leg, a house, and a woman that wants to eat you.
That, I mean, they must have been really desperate to see it if they'd cut open their own tent for it.
So who the hell would even think about, you know, getting clothes on? Run for your lives! And then, well, I guess some of them, you know, died from hypothermia. They were boiled alive. And then she nibbled on some parts of them, like eyes, eyebrows, and whatnot, and then just threw them out where they found them.
Oh my god.
Because Baba Yaga is wasteful, apparently.
Right, she barely ate anything.
Global warming.
Well, but you said they didn't run, right? Well, maybe they were like, oh, run, but it was like, oh, it's so cold, I can only muster up a gentle
and also,
stroll.
How fast can a house on a chicken leg go, right?
That's true.
Maybe they didn't have to run.
They were like, we should escape, but we could take our time, because this chicken leg...
Yeah, we did just start walking to the forest, like, casually, like, is it still following us? Like, and then the Baba Yaga is there in the middle, like, moving very slowly, but she's like, I'm gonna get ya! And they're like, oh my god, what a fucking creep.
How scary can it be if something's chasing you, but it's just, like, kind of slow?
It's like that fear, you know, like, would you take $1 billion but know that out there somewhere is a snail in the world that's at all times following you, and if you touch it, you die?
Yeah, because then you have $1 billion.
Yeah, like, I always thought of it this way. I would be... You know, I would try to see, like, I would try to find the snail and just put it in a jar. What is it going to do? I always thought this question to be so stupid because I'm like, just put it in a jar. Put it in a jar. What can you do?
I mean, I think the idea is that you can't trap it. Like...
Well, that wasn't said in the agreement when I signed it.
The idea is that it's always on the move and you can't stop it. It'll always be approaching you. But even in that case, you can just jet around the world. If you know where the snow is at one point, you can literally just always plan to live around it, you know?
Oh yeah, find the snail once and put a tracker on it.
Exactly. That's all you have to do.
Fucking $1 billion.
Yeah. Put me in there. What was it? The pass? Put me in the pass. I'll get away. I already forgot what the name is.
Jatlo Pass, put me in the pass.
Put me in the pass. Drop me in there.
Drop me. Where are we dropping, boys? Jatlo Pass.
I'll do a leisurely stroll at minus 20 and get out of there.
Yeah. Or actually, you know what else could have happened?
Well.
Imagine. They're just walking like in like spaced out but one line up the hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, okay, fuck, we fucked up. Wrong side of the hill. Fuck. I don't want to walk back, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, fuck. And then they were like, well, even double fuck, because we now walk the wrong direction. And if you triangulate it, it's going to get back to the normal position. We have to walk longer. That means that our supplies that we have on us now, because we left some, you know, calculating that we're going to come back this route.
Uh-huh.
The supplies we have on us now won't last till the finish, so we have to go and get back that one, right?
Uh-huh.
The supplies. And then somebody was like, oh yeah, well, like, bruh, I left my noodles there and I didn't want to say anything, but like, if you're actually going back, I really want my noodles. So he was like, he cut the tent open and he was like, just climbed out.
Right.
And they start leisurely walking down. And they're like, fuck, okay, it was somewhere in the forest, it's so dark, you can't see anything. And then one of them was like, again, they're spaced out, they're like, kind of walking. And the one at the very back, he was like, up-choo, and slipped, right? Slips, falls, starts rolling down a hill, becomes this massive snowball, and then just one by one, they get sucked in this massive snowball, and then when it hits the forest, it like fucking explodes, and that's how the corpses are spread over the forest.
Okay. Okay. It's kind of gruesome as well.
It's believable what it is.
You know, maybe they were just sitting in the tent at night. It was like, no, I'm having a great time at the pass, you know. it's some great pastime here, heyo. But I really wish our 10th friend who fucking gave up on us was here. I think we should go get him. So he can experience the beauty of the pass as well. And
so let's go fucking naked?
Well, they were having a cheeky orgy before, so you know, you don't have time to change and everything. And
maybe that's why they remembered that they need the other one, because I mean, you know, in as somebody experienced, you know, sometimes in an orgy you can feel that some lacking, you know, someone's lacking. You're like, pick up the pace, but then there's this one dude, but like, I mean, I would pick up the pace, but like, there's usually Georgie did this, right?
So you have experienced this, you said?
Who said that?
Okay. Just, you're like, oh, god damn it, you pick up the pace back there, you.
Come on, are we even working here, huh?
I bet Miko Life would do a lot better than you. Shame he didn't come along with us. Let's go get him.
Oh my god.
Or maybe because of the heat generated in the tent, you know? It's like a sauna.
Oh, and they opened the door, but it wasn't enough because there was still too heated. So they cut the tent open. They were like, fuck, it's so hot. Let's get outside to, you know, cool down.
Exactly. And then they also had a, like, leisurely stroll because that's also like the sauna, the hot and cold shock.
And a fucking bear mauled them.
Yes, beautiful ending. They were just hanging out and then a bear slapped them over the head.
Boink, go to horny jail.
That was the chastity protector of the mountain.
Fuck. Or, what if a forester, you know, meeting the quota, USSR, we all know the terrible tales of USSR meeting quotas. It's like, this field can't even guarantee that you can get crops of, I don't know, like 50 tons, right?
Right.
But the USSR is like, we need 100 from you in a week! It was terrible. It was a terrible time for everybody.
Right.
And imagine this woodcutter working in the Ural Mountains, right? And then he's like, chopping wood, I have to meet the quota. It's night, it's snowy, I don't see anything, but I have to meet the quota. He just chops it. At this point, he's delirious. He doesn't even see. He just chops anything that stands. And these people, they're like, they're taking the stroll, but you know, like, I guess if you're delirious in the middle of the night, it's snow, you don't even see if it's a human or a tree. So you just chop one down, you chop two down. Oh, these trees, they're really going down this time of the year. So you chop them off, you keep chopping.
He just went and so, chopping.
And so, when the local woodcutter Yevgesha was asked, did you see any people on the mountain on the day when you were woodcutting? He very, you know, because he believed it. He was like, no, I was just chopping wood. Got pretty some good logs, yeah. Look back in the backyard, you can see, you know, woodcutting. Some of the trees were like, I guess there were a lot of new sprouts in this time, winter, when they sprout, you know, in Russia. That's when the trees start growing, I guess.
Right, in the winter.
But yeah, no, saw nobody, no.
I said, hey, your logs look kind of bloody, huh? What happened?
Ah, slipped and fell, or probably caught my finger. It's like, oh yeah, a lot of blood in your finger.
Right. Whoops, I must have been so delirious that I cut my own finger off without noticing. It happens to the best of us, huh? Who hasn't done that before?
Yes, don't take it against us. Don't take it against you. You're not the fault here.
Exactly. It's just, you got a quote at the head.
Yeah, honestly, the quota is us. Who can hit them, huh?
Maybe the bears on the mountains also had a quota, and they were like, well, it's time to go, you know. There's 9 here, we should take our chance. We're not going to hit this quota otherwise.
Yeah.
Or maybe the people in the tent needed to hit their quota of annual deaths, you know. So they were like, well, shit, it's time to cut open the tent, you know. No, everybody will die because of that, so, and now we can just leisurely stroll through the forest and wait until it's our turn.
Oh, wait. That is a plausible theory, but I also, we are we're not remembering a key fact here. I think it's like a key factor here. They're students, right? And there's one thing that students love.
Studying.
You're so foul for this. No. Party.
Party.
Party. And now imagine, okay, Henry. You lie in your bed. Do you sleep with your, underwear on, or just, you have a pajamas, or what do you have?
Wouldn't you like to know, you little sicko?
I sleep in my underwear only, because otherwise it's just too itchy or too hot.
I sleep... Well, I can do either way, to be honest. But usually just underwear and t-shirt.
Right. And sometimes I lie there in the middle of the night, and I'm like, what's that? And then you... Somewhere in the distance, you hear the Dutch people go, it's a party, right? It's Johnny Depp, Johnny. And you're like, holy shit, it's a party. So I don't even, I never put clothes on. I'm so happy to go to a party. I just want a party. I rush out the door, don't even lock it in my underwear, and also go to a party. But because Netherlands is never that cold, it's, always works out.
Right.
Russian people are probably, they're all students. We're all human. It was the same. They were like, the mountain there, and then it was like, holy shit, what is that? And then someone in the distance is like, Moscow, la 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 la. And they're like, holy shit, it's a party!
Right.
And then they cut the tent open and run into the forest. To the party, and they party like crazy in the forest. And then they partied so hard they died.
They partied, yeah.
They overheated their bodies.
Some people died of exhaustion, which just looked like hypothermia. And some, they were partying so hard they were just bumping into each other so hard that their eyeballs fell out.
Jesus. But at least they died doing what they loved,
Partying in Russian forests.
I mean, who wouldn't want to party in Russian forests?
Me.
Me too, honestly.
Well, Rudy, would you like to bring us to the resolution? Because I'm quite curious indeed.
Sure. Right, how should I say this? Right, so the idea is that, why this even became so popular is because they found the bodies, and the bodies were immediately taken, for whatever reason, by the military. It wasn't given to the parents back, the bodies, because the military, I guess, wanted to investigate something, right?
Right.
So that was the first, but that was just, back in the day, USSR regime. It's just like they do what they want, and they don't tell you why they do
right.
it.
Right.
It's just, right. So they did that, and then the official report was that... I think the first official report put out by the government or something was that they just, there was a, how was it put? It was something of a natural force. It was very stupidly put. Basically not saying anything that happened, right?
Right.
So of course people were mad and people went investigating, right?
Right.
In a sense of because parents didn't feel like they got the justice they needed. Or the closure, I suppose.
Right.
So many, many people after that. And also for whatever reason, USSR put this specific... All the reports regarding this, they didn't put into the normal police archives. They put it in the extra safe whatever archives were there at the, for top secrets or something.
Okay.
And then a lot of people back in the day, I guess, because they're somewhere in the same region, not like very close nearby, but somewhere in the same region, there was a Russian military base
mm-hmm.
where they were rumored to be experimenting with ultrasound experiments and whatnot.
Okay.
So there was a theory that basically they were just unwillingly a part of a military experiment that, ultrasound, whatever, messed with the brains and made them kill themselves. Then, of course, later on, after USSR fell, a lot of people came forward that they've been silenced. And a lot of people, one of the more famous also parts of the story is a lot of people came forward saying that in the region, somewhat in the same even like time, they saw some very weird glowing spheres flying in the sky. So UFO basically, right?
Okay.
Of course, the occasional story about a snowman. As in, like, the Yeti?
Yeah.
But in the end, there was a foundation even made for this incident, named after this incident, rather. A lot of investigations, and the most believable to my mind and most modern conclusion is that it was a... how would you call that? there was a specific term. It was a specific term for an avalanche, basically. A slow avalanche.
Ah, that makes sense.
Because this was, like, for many decades, right? It was well hidden in Russian archive, the full report of what happened to the bodies. But then, it kind of, like, I'm not going to go through the full story, because there's, you can read so much. The Wikipedia page, for example, on this is like a full report.
Right.
But, so, it's basically, they're victims of severe weather altercations, and yeah, it's slab avalanche is what it's called. So what most believable cause what had happened is when they made the tent, of course it was a slope, so they had to like pickaxe or cut out like somewhat
like a square to put it on
ground for it, yeah, like a square, and that made the snow unstable that was up of the slope.
Yeah.
But the snow wasn't heavy enough to just start like an avalanche. It just started moving very, very slowly because they disturbed it. And in the middle of the night, they basically woke up to snow already kind of, destroying the tent. And the most likely the entrance was just blocked by snow. Like it wasn't... They couldn't have taken the entrance because it was blocked.
Right.
So they had to cut out the tent. It's still a bit weird why it's possible that maybe they just woke up and they thought that it's an avalanche, so they have to move quick. And in a panic, they just ran out in the snow without any clothes on. You also have to remember that back in the day, the equipment is probably like, it takes like 20 minutes to get in all of that bundle.
Yeah.
So maybe they were like, "Jesus, we're gonna die, there's no time for this." Plus, it was a low visibility night. It later was proven that it was a hurricane outside at the same time, like a snow blizzard.
Right.
So, as I said, low visibility, so splitting them apart. And then the people found in the forest were found a bunch under a tree. Not like a crushed tree, but it was like a broken down tree under which they tried to make a campfire or something, one of them. They were later also found that the tree that's near to that one had broken branches, indicating that somebody might have tried to climb up to see something.
Yeah.
The people in the river or whatever was it, the creek, they probably just died of hypothermia because it was too cold, and they dropped there, and all of those injuries, like the eyeballs, the tongue, and the eyebrows, is honestly just soft tissue, basically injuries, and that means that it could have been the case that they just, because of such cold and running water, for example, on your eyebrows, of course they're gonna fall off.
Right.
Of your body.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like that kind of
thing. Yeah.
So, thing is, nobody in that day and age, with the provided equipment that was also with them, could have survived that, like, in whatever they played it out.
Right.
Like, there was no way they could have survived if they ran out of the tent like that. There's no way you could have survived that, even if, there doesn't have to be any paranormal explanation to it.
Yeah.
It's just natural causes, basically. But Jesus freaking Christ, there's so many theories and so many, like, still some weird details, I would say, that, I don't know, like, it still feels weird to run out of a tent not fully clothed,
Yeah, I don't know. Could also be a panic thing, Who knows?
Yeah, but yeah, there was a theory I also have heard, because I watched it, like, I have seen this played out in many different scenarios, this specific incident in a lot of paranormal, videos that I used to watch as a teenager, or, like, some shows that talk about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those are always, they posed so dramatically. All of them had the terror look on their face. They were all running from something. Nobody knows what, this kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was also speculation that the campsite fell within the path of a Soviet parachute mine exercise.
That's quite the unfortunate coincidence as well.
Yeah. Also, paradoxical undressing is some people believe that because they walked slowly from the tent, there were some scientists that believed that because of hypothermia, the effect on your, nerves, it feels like you're actually, it's not like you're actually, okay, what I'm trying to say is like when you're freezing to death, it might feel like you're actually burning alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like it actually feels your nerves are kind of... It's a mixed feeling of you're actually think that it's basically burning, right? So they started they undressing themselves because in the delirious state they thought it's going to help them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, sucks to die.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But yeah, so... And yeah, and this incident has been... I mean, there's a pass named after it, but mostly in popular... You know... How would I say this?
Pop culture.
Fantasy.
Oh.
Fantasy culture is where this lives up to its name. There's even a horror game that maybe we should play sometimes, Henry. And, inspired by this incident. I think it's named Kolat, and it's a Polish horror video.
All right. Let's look this up after recording.
There's books, there's series about it, there's, you know, shows, videos, whatnot.
There's a podcast about it now, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And also, this is the first episode that actually was asked of me to do.
Oh.
I was going to do it anyways because I knew about this, but then very coincidentally, somebody was asking for feedback for our podcast. They recommended me this, and I was like, oh yeah, I was thinking about it. So, you know who you are probably, and there you go. This episode has made it into podcast.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, Rudy, should we say our goodbyes?
Well, unless you have something nice to say to me about how this was such a cool episode, yeah?
No. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to send in your own idea for the podcast, for an episode we could do, see, sometimes wishes do come true. Am I right? Hey. Feel free.
Sometimes wishes do come true.
Yes. Feel free to send in an email at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. Or if you want to have a more personal avenue, Rudy.
Yes, a more personal avenue. You want to suggest me some other episodes, please. Put a follow on that 000RUDUS000 on Instagram. I will be waiting. I am waiting. And I feel like it's been way too long. I just want to throw it out there. Italians, I love you. I am learning your language through Duolingo. I've been doing great.
Boo.
And by the time this comes out, I've been doing probably even better. So, homie's rooting for you, peeps.
Boo. All right. Arrivederci, or whatever they say in Italy. Bye.
Arrivederci.